السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers, our sisters listening over receivers, may Allah تبارک و تعالی make this day mubarak for all of us in this month of Ramadan. As far as this ayat is concerned, I don't know how many times you will be listening to this ayat in the month of Ramadan, whereas this ayat was not only for the month of Ramadan. Although Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions that fasting has been prescribed for you as it was prescribed on those before you, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may become muttaqi. So the fasting part may be for the month of Ramadan, but as far as this taqwa is concerned, it is until a person's dying day that he requires taqwa. Now Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has been so kind, so merciful, so compassionate, so loving, that he made it extremely easy for us to understand that this fasting which is prescribed upon us is not something that is unique to us. It was also for the people before us. In fact, for them the laws were much more difficult. It was much harder upon them. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala made it easy for us that we fast from dawn to sunset, and many other rules we have been relaxed which were prevalent in the ummats of the past. So this fasting, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that the objective is so that you may have taqwa in you. And on this taqwa, as you have or may have heard many, many times, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has made many, many promises. One of the promises which has been made is that whosoever will develop taqwa in his life. And taqwa does not mean that you stand on one leg and read some wazifa 100,000 times, or the person reads a lot of nafil namazes, or tahajjud namaz, or ishraq and chash namaz. Those are all recommended namazes, and we will get the rewards of that. But taqwa means fulfillment of the ahkam and the laws of Allah Ta'ala, and restraining oneself from all that Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam have prohibited. Both things have to go together. We know that we cannot get our electricity, our light switch, switched on unless you have both positive and negative wire. There has to be a negative and a positive wire. Now if a person says, no, I'm only going to have the positive wire, he's not going to get the electricity. He's not going to get the switch on, the light coming on. In the same way, if we say we are just going to make nafil namaz, ishraq, chash, awwabin and zikr and tilawat and everything else, so that's all the positive side. Hajj and umrahs are positive. But what about the negative wire? And that is the restraining of ourselves from all that is haram. Therefore, in this fasting also, that is the important thing, that the person does not just stay away from food and drink from dawn to sunset. That I mentioned last week also, sometimes children also get angry and say, I won't eat today. Sometimes there's strikes, they say we are going on hunger strike, we're not going to eat for the whole day, whole month. We will die, but we're not going to eat. So that kind of things has always happened in society and it will go on happening. Then we have so many people just for diet purposes, they don't eat and drink. So will we say all of them are fasting? There is a kind of fasting, but it is not that same objective which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is mentioning in this ayat, and that is that we have full Allah consciousness. We may call it God consciousness, but we believe Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is all seeing, all hearing, all knowing. I have absolutely no hesitation in repeating the example which I gave last week, and I will go on giving because it's a different audience. that if you have to look at it, if at the time of iftar the dastarkhan is laid out and everything is there and it's just 2 minutes to go, I will just give it to you very quickly today, it's just 2 minutes to go, no matter who the person may be, how weak his iman, he can be a person with very, very weak iman like us. The person could be engaging in adultery, in fornication, listening to music. Even in the month of Ramadan, the person could be listening to music, making ghibat. The person could be stealing and committing other crimes. But when it will come to that iftar time, that 2-3 minutes before iftar, even if the Imam of Haram Sharif or all the muftis of the world have to tell this person that open your fast now, there's only 2 minutes left, and you've already observed the fast for 12 hours, 18 hours, 20 hours, what difference will it make? That person, no matter how weak his iman, he will say, I cannot open my fast 2 minutes before time, because it is the law of Allah Ta'ala, it's a command of Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So we can see how strong that person's iman is just for the 2 minutes before iftar. Irrespective of dastarkhan, that look, as it is during the day you were doing this and doing that, so what's it if you open your fast 2 minutes before time? He's not going to open it. So if our iman becomes so strong at the time of iftar, that 2 minutes before time, the only answer or the only response of ours is that it is the hukam of Allah Ta'ala, nothing else. That it is the order of Allah, command of Allah, that you must open your fast after sunset. Therefore, I cannot open it before sunset. So is that not the same Allah who has said that we must pray 5 times a day? Is He not the same Allah Ta'ala who has said we must give zakat, must go for hajj, farz? Is it not the same Allah Ta'ala who has made gambling, drinking, adultery, fornication, watching all the filth on the television screen and the porn sites of the internet, all haram? Is it not that same Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala who said that we must develop in our heart shukr and sabr and zuhad and contentment, and we must have tawakkul and yaqeen in Him, and that we must have nobility and piety and taqwa in our lives? Is it not that same Allah Ta'ala's hukam all that? That you must not usurp the property of the widows and the orphans, that you must not take that which is not due to you Islamically in inheritance. When it comes to properties and inheritance, then do we believe in that same Allah Ta'ala? Then we become so strong at the time of iftar, then we should be strong in the same way even in those matters. When it comes to gaining through haram and illegal and illegitimate means, plenty of money, the person can cheat, he can gamble, or he can go to the casino, or he can hijack some containers and make a lot of money. So at that time, does he say the same thing? Why does he not say the same thing what he says at the time of iftar, 2 minutes before iftar? That is the law of that same Allah Ta'ala. So this is the lesson of the month of Ramadan, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is watching, Allah Ta'ala is listening, Allah Ta'ala knows everything. And that is the thing that restrains this person from eating and drinking. Otherwise he can't restrain himself. But look at Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the rewards that He gives on this fasting. Of course you must have heard all these Hadith Sharif and so much of bayans already on fasting. But it is, as far as I am concerned, I am not a musalli here in this masjid, we have our programs there. So I don't know who spoke what. But even if we have heard hundreds of times, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam reminded the sahabas how many times? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, before the month of Ramadan comes, he should look forward to its coming. And then he should remind the sahabas of the virtues of the fasting in this Mubarak month. So therefore this Mubarak month, one of the Hadith Sharif which you may have heard, but I repeat, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, and Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu has reported that Hadith Sharif, and I'm just giving you the gist of that, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala increases the rewards of good deeds from 10 to 700 times. Depending on the sincerity of the person, it is increased. However, as far as fasting is concerned, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that I will give the reward of fasting. Because this person gave up his food, drink and his carnal passions just for my sake, my pleasure. Therefore, the other things, the angels, they will pass on whatever the rewards the person has to get. But as far as fasting is concerned, Allah Ta'ala says that أَصَوْمُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ, that this fasting is for me and I will be the one who will reward it. So if there is a king who says that I will be the one who will distribute the gifts from my treasures, it is a world of difference from the king saying to somebody in authority that he has placed, that from my treasures give that person a little bit here, a little bit there, according to the actions that they do. or whatever amount of work they do, give them a little bit from there. This is the scale on which they must be paid. But if he says that this person has done this solely for my pleasure, therefore I will reward him, then we can imagine what kind of rewards there must be. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he says for the fasting person that I will give the rewards. Now do we sense the rewards in our life? If we do not, then it means something is going wrong with our fast. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that fasting is for me and I will give the reward. But there's another reading of that in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, wa ana udza bi, meaning that I am the reward of that fast. Agar ek tu nahi mera to koi she nahi meri, jo tu mera to sab mera, falak mera, zami meri. Agar ek tu nahi mera to koi she nahi meri, jo tu mera to sab mera, falak mera, zami meri. Oh Allah, if you are not mine, then nothing is mine. Our children will not be the coolness of our eyes if Allah Ta'ala is not ours. Our businesses will not give us barakat. Our homes will not give us comfort. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give plentiful and make the person's life restless, full of anxieties, worries and problems. There will be nothing but arguments, quarrels, fights and disputes. There will be nothing but court cases upon court cases. Although the person has millions and millions, but there will be no peace, no happiness if Allah Ta'ala is not ours. And if Allah Ta'ala is ours, then sab mera, then everything is ours. Because if Allah Ta'ala is ours, then in all conditions the person will be given sukoon in his heart. Because the heart is what feels either happiness or sorrow, grief, pain. Everything is in the heart. This heart keeps on changing colors, as we say. There are different things that happen in the heart. We develop love in the heart for someone. We develop hatred in the heart for someone. In this heart we say the person has a very strong heart. The person has a very, very generous heart. The person has a very miserly heart. The person has a very soft heart. The person has very this kind of heart and that kind of heart. So the person has a very sad situation in his life. So where is he feeling it? In his heart. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when he becomes ours, then in the same heart, irrespective of outside conditions, the person could be Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an. The person could be Hazrat Suhaib Rumi rahmatul radiallahu ta'ala an. The person could be any of those sahabas who were undergoing so much of torture and persecution and trouble. The person could be the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. In spite of all those difficulties and hardship and pain and suffering, not one sahabi of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, not one Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and not one wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala ever committed suicide. Because they believe that these are tests and trials which are coming, and if I am doing that which is right and which I supposed to do, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is pleased with it. So therefore it is a test to see how much I love him. Allah ta'ala wants to show to mankind, and he showed it through the life of the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that these were the real rijal. Rijalul la tulhihim tijaratun wa la bay'un an dhikrillah wa iqamis salah wa ita'iz zakah. يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارُ. Now there's no time to go into all the details here, but one part of it where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that these rijal, these sahaba ikiram, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala talks about them. And of course until the day of Qiyamah, whoever will follow them. رِجَالُ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. That their businesses, their transactions, I'm just giving an explanation, that all these dealings that they do, because they go for earning their livelihood, whatever it may be. But it does not divert them. It does not move them away. From what? لَا تُلِهِهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. From the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, from the establishment of their salat. That means in whatever condition they may be, they remember Allah Ta'ala. So these people in their grief, in their sorrow, in their pain, in their suffering, they still truly believe that our Allah is with us. And Allah Ta'ala is showing through us to mankind that will come, that these were my real servants and my real slaves, that under all conditions they were happy with my decision, whatever was my decision. They will make use of the means to come out of those difficulties and problems and tests and trials, but they will turn towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, because He is the creator of those means also which will get us out of those problems. The person is sick, he will take medication, but he will not trust in that medication. The person is scared of burglars, so he'll put alarm system, he'll put burglar guards, he'll have security guards, he'll have everybody. But he will truly believe that security lies in Allah Ta'ala. Indira Gandhi and so many others too, who planted the bullets into their bodies, their own security guards. Even today, how many people have been hijacked and murdered and killed by whom? By their own security guards. So security is in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. We will make use of it as means. So therefore, agar ek tu nahi mera to koi shay nahi meri, jo tu mera to sab mera, falak mera, zami meri. So this is what happens. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that I am the reward of the fasting person, the person who is fasting. I am his reward. In other words, you've got Allah if you have kept the fast in the manner that it should be observed. This brings me on to another hadith sharif of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is reported to have said, man tamassaka bi sunnati inda fasad ummati falahu ajru mi'ati shahid, aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam, that the person who holds fast to my sunnah at the time when the ummat is in great amount of fitnas, when there's fitna and fasad in the ummat, in the ummah there is great amount of fitna and fasad, as we are seeing today. Which part of the world is the ummah not in fitna and fasad? We've got so much of fitnas in our own homes, fitnas amongst our family members, fitnas in our bazaars and marketplaces, fitnas unlimited at our schools and colleges and universities, fitnas throughout the world. Wherever we go, it's nothing but invitation towards fitnas and fasad. Mischief, corruption and everything has become abundant on the land of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So at such a time when a person will hold fast to the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that that person will get the reward of 100 martyrs. Now this sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we limit it to miswak, to our beard, to our kurtas and to our topis and things like that. There are sunnats of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam which to us may sometimes seem insignificant, but to consider any sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam insignificant, it is a major, major sin, and it can even lead to kufr if the person is making istighfar. That means he's just considering it as insignificant and leaving it out. One is the person does not practice on that sunnat, but he considers it as a sunnat. Of course, in sunnat also there are muakkada, there are ghair muakkada, there were certain things that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam chose as his lifestyle, but he did not impose it on the ummat, which I have discussed many times in other places, that this confuses us sometimes. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his room was just 2x2. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he used to go for sajda, tahajjud time, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, his beloved wife, she says that sometimes I had to pull my leg back. Now that is the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, the greatest after Allah Ta'ala. Na masjid, na masjid ke unche minare, na qibla, na kaaba, na makkah, madina. The greatest after Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Awwal ma khalaq Allahu nuri, the first thing Allah Ta'ala created was the noor of Allah Ta'ala. But yet this is his lifestyle. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, 2 months no fire lights in his home. Now this was his chosen lifestyle. It's not that Allah Ta'ala made him extremely poor, therefore he couldn't afford it. But his lifestyle was whatever came, he didn't leave a single cent and a single coin for the next day. But he didn't impose that on the ummah, for he knew that we are going to come, we won't be able to practice on that. So we will say that for us is the shariat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which is so beautiful, so practical, so easy, that the king can practice on the shariat, the businessman can practice on the shariat, the rich person can practice on the shariat of and deen of Islam, and the poor person can practice, whoever he may be. Shariat is extremely easy, therefore there are laws of zakat. Until the person doesn't have a certain amount of wealth, there's no zakat. Until the person doesn't have something to leave behind as inheritance, there's no inheritance masail. Yet the Quran Sharif discusses the masail of inheritance, discusses the masail of zakat, discusses the masail of so many other things. So why is all this? Because that is the shariat of Islam. So what I am saying is that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that when there is going to be a lot of fitnas and fasad in the ummah, at that time whosoever will hold fast to my sunnah, that person will get the reward of 100 martyrs. Now we take it for granted that this is the sunnah of beard or the sunnah of kurta or the sunnah of miswak. And that is the only thing we will emphasize upon. In fact, I always say that when we are sitting on the dastarkhan, and at that time there's biryani on one side and there's zarda also and a sweet dish on the other side, at that time our iman becomes very strong and we become real lovers of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And we say, Maulana Sahib, which is the sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, to eat the sweet meat first or to eat the biryani first? Why, in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam there's no biryani also. But whatever it was, the thing is that those are masail to find out there's nothing wrong, it's good, and to practice on it. But our sunnat interest only comes in eating and drinking. They asked somebody that 2 plus 2 equals what? He was a poor person. So I asked him, 2 plus 2 equals what? He said, 4 loaves of bread. Because that's in his mind. Out of hunger, what else? You want bread. So he said, 2 plus 2 equals 4 loaves of bread. So in the same way, we only look at the sunnahs of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which are sweet. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, whosoever holds fast to this sunnah of mine at the time of fasad and mischief, and fasad is so common. If we have to just explain now what fasad is, it will require hours and hours. So this fasad, mischief, corruption, fitnas and everything else that's happening, at that time to hold fast to the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is gaining the person the reward of 100 martyrs. So is that sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam only the sunnah of miswak? What about Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sunnah of performing the salat? The salat that he performed and how he performed, was that not the sunnah way of performing the salat? Or was it that we just go into ruku and sajda as if we're picking up from the ground some kind of grains like how the hen does? What was the sunnah way of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam salat? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when once one sahabi made one salat in the early days, and then he told him, go back, irje fa salli fa innaka lam tusalli. Go back, repeat your salat, you haven't made your salat. It happened 3 times like that, then he explained him how to make the salat. So there's a sunnat way of making the salat, and whoever will make the salat in the sunnat way, in the time of fitna and fasad, then he will get the reward of those 100 martyrs. In the same way, fasting also has got a sunnat way. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what kind of fast did he keep? Was his fast the fast that we keep? Did his fast go together with everything else that we do? Our fast, on the one hand we are fasting, on the one hand we're swearing, we're cursing, we're speaking lies, we're taking false oaths and qasams. Our salat with jamaat is being missed. And then we are cheating, we're deceiving. There are so many deals and wheels that we are doing, which is un-Islamic. There are so many things that are happening, but our fast, mashallah, is there. Now will that fast bring us the reward which is being promised here, that Allah Ta'ala says, I will become yours and you will become mine? Will it bring us that reward? Will it bring us all those other rewards that have been promised? Or will we be like those people whom Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, that through their fast they get nothing except hunger and thirst? And they are those people through their salatu tahajjud and late night of staying awake get nothing except loss of sleep. Or Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, مَنْ لَمْ يَدَى قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْحَمَلَ بِهِ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ أَنْ يَدَى طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. That person who does not give up lies and practicing and acting upon it. And this, the explanation has been given, that what does it mean practicing upon it? That the person does not give up lies, does not give up speaking, cursing and swearing. The person does not give up false oaths and qasams. The person does not give up ghibat and backbiting. The person does not give up carrying tales and causing problem between people, brothers, sisters, family members, friends. The person does not create mischief with his tongue in whichever form it may be. And with his actions also, the person does not create any kind of fitna, fasad and mischief. The person abstains from everything that is haram and forbidden and sinful. Then only Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will reward him. Otherwise, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Allah ta'ala is not in need of such a person's fasting. He doesn't need it. What will he gain by us staying hungry and thirsty? So therefore, the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with regard to fast, how should the person fast? Now in that fasting, there has to be taqwa that is being developed. The person is controlling his gaze from haram, is controlling his heart from haram, is controlling his hand from haram, his feet from haram, his mind and thoughts and fantasizing from haram. Then this person, within a few days, he will see the spirit or the nur of that fast coming into his heart. He will experience it. It's an experience. If there is total darkness and a person has to just switch on the light, immediately the person can realize that the light came on. Like that, even if our hearts are totally dark, but if we make sincere tawbah that, Ya Allah, this Ramadan I'm making of mine to return to whomsoever, whatever is due. Whatever I may have taken illegally, whatever I may have usurped, which was not my right, then I'm going to return it. I'm going to start making my qazas. I'm going to ask people whom have caused hurt, harm and injury to forgive me. And then he makes this little bit ibadat, zikr, tilawat and fast. Believe me, it will be like how the heart when it is dark and suddenly a switch has come on, he will experience it. He will experience it. I have 3 minutes left and I will conclude that it will be just like how the well, when we are digging a well In the early days of the digging, there's nothing but sand and dust that comes out. As the person is digging, he goes 2 feet deep, 3 feet deep, what will happen? Some sand and dust will come out. So the person doesn't give it up there, he goes on. After some time of digging, if he carries on, then he will reach a stage, now this sand, but it's mixed with some water. Now it gives him some kind of happiness that some water came. And finally, if he goes a little deeper, then water will gush forth. He will benefit and millions will benefit. Like that, this fasting also, even if we failed in the past 2-3 days now, to get some kind of noor in our hearts and barakat and rahmat, then we don't give up now, keep on digging now. Well, think that now the dust and dirt and everything was coming out, but we must not give up. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala with His mercy, kindness, Allah Ta'ala will give us that water which will gush forth, and then we will see how cool and how refreshing and how beautiful we will find our own lives. Then we will find the effects of that going into our families and in the society. And if everybody has to keep that kind of fast, what a kind of society that will be. What a beautiful society to live in, where nobody is causing anybody injury, pain, harm. Nobody is cheating, nobody is deceiving, nobody is doing anything that is haram and forbidden. It will be wonderful and beautiful. May Allah Ta'ala bless us with the tawfiq of fasting in a manner that is acceptable and that is pleasing to Him, and reward us as He has promised. Because He is the best of those who show, Allah Ta'ala is the most merciful of those who show mercy. And Allah Ta'ala is the most truthful. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. So if there's any delay, it's from our side. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I make dua for you, you make dua for me. Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, hardship, pain and suffering of the ummah and mankind around the globe. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا.